everybody. This is Ellie Fawcett.
And this is Jesse Keith. And this is All Ideas Are Bad Ideas,
the podcast about the things we believe in our hearts to be perfect, but know in our minds are fundamentally flawed.
Our bad ideas focus this week is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
So, we're trying something a little bit different this week. We said we were talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but we're really only talking about one episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. See, despite all evidence to the contrary that, like, I seem like a person who should have already seen all 7 seasons 6 times, I've actually never watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Jesse, on the other hand.
Well, I've watched a lot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I also haven't actually finished all 7 seasons. I stopped, I think, somewhere around season 5 when my sister and I were watching it. So, like, while I have a more comprehensive knowledge about Buffy, I'm by no means an expert. But we really wanted to just take this episode to key in on one episode instead of talking about a series as the whole, to see if we really could just, like, take a bad idea's focus on a single episode.
So, Jesse, having more context for the series than I did choose this episode. We're going to be talking about the sixth... We're going to be talking about the episode The Pack, which is in season 1, and it comes after the first 5 episodes, because I can't say the word that I'm not going to try to say again.
We're not able to talk tonight. It's fine. But yeah, and I chose this one because, okay, first of all, it's August now, which means it's back to school season. And, like, we wanted to choose something that, like, represented the back-to-school spirit. And I feel like nothing represents, like, terrible high school spirit like Sunnydale High does. So Buffy immediately popped into my mind.
Yeah, Sunnydale was a weird, weird place to spend. So I watched the first 6 episodes. I didn't just watch The Pack because I can't live without context. And the school spirit was a little funky.
Yeah.
It's a little funky.
Yeah, as far as high school goes... all high schools are weird, but Sunnydale High is definitely the weirdest of them all.
And not because of the demons, monsters, and vampires. It's not just that. It's not just that.
And that's part of why I chose The Pack. I mean, it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but, like, I didn't want to choose some plot-heavy, vampire-centric episode because there are so many really kind of outrageous ones. Like, reading the summaries for all of the Buffy episodes was cracking me up. Like, outwardly it seems so blatantly ridiculous, and honestly the episode is quite a bit, but, like, it's also a little bit, like, dramatic, and, like, so I thought it was a good mix of things for us to look at as far as, like, one episode that we could talk about Buffy without having to talk about all of Buffy, without having to talk about the big plots and the main characters. And, you know, we could kind of key in on, like, a typical day at Sunnydale High, where people get possessed by hyenas and eat the principal.
On the subject of the eating of the principal, I would like to bring up my first bad idea, which is relatively minor and isn't gonna necessarily spark a fun discussion, but so there's the scene where the pack of hyena children goes to eat the principal, which, first of all, is a sentence I never imagined myself saying, but second of all, there is this bit where the one, like, leaps over the desk and knocks his chair back, and then the camera sort of pans down onto Principal Flutie's desk, and Principal Flutie got a picture of his own damn self on his desk. Like,
yes.
there is no one else in this photo. It's just a beautiful framed photo of Flutie cheesing, facing outward towards the students who would be sitting there as he harangued them for whatever their misdeed was, just smiling,
right,
alone.
Like, I get the trope of, like, you don't want to show the graphic violence of a principal being eaten alive, so you, like, pan down to a photo of him that's smiling to, like, point out the irony that, like, he used to be happy and alive, and now he's sadly dead. But, like, you know, do that, but, like, have him with, like, a teacher or something.
Or, like,
a wife,
anything,
somebody.
Anything in the world that's not just his own dang lonely, lonesome
self.
Maybe
even a trophy, like, some reason for him to have taken this photo of himself or somebody
right.
else to have taken this photo.
It's just Principal Flutie cheesing for the camera.
No, okay,
all by his lonesome.
Here's the bad idea that I found in that scene was, So, the principal's being eaten alive, right? There's a whole host of bad ideas that led up to that moment, but the principal's being eaten alive by his own students. And he is screaming. And of course he's screaming. He's being eaten alive. How does nobody else hear his screams?
I hadn't even thought about that!
How does nobody down the hall, no teacher, no student, no gym teacher, no, like, nobody in the vicinity of this principal's office, which is not far removed, like, it's not in some weird corner of the school, it's, like, right in the middle.
It's just right there!
How does nobody hear him screaming for his life as he's being eaten alive? How does nobody hear that? They discover him later! How does nobody hear him in progress?
It was definitely just, like, lunch when he hauled those kids into his office. Like, wouldn't they have been all covered in blood? Where'd they go? Like, did they just climb out the window and vanish into the ether?
You see them later and they're, like, prowling around town, sleeping in parks like homeless people, but they also have no blood. Like, they're very clean for teenagers that just ate somebody alive. Like,
ripped him to shreds.
They are wearing the same clothes. How did they stay that neat? I don't understand. Even Xander ate, like, most of a pig while it was alive
and was just fine.
His sweater is immaculate.
I would like to imagine that what this means is that, like, in a scene that we can't really see because they're under, like, the desk already, they whip out, like, hazmat suit bibs and just, like, suit the heck up. And are just like, we're going to town! But, like you know, like, the lobster, the endless lobster fest bibs from Red Lobster, but, like,
oh my
a
God.
Full body cover that just says, like, Flutie Fest 2K... oh, wait, no, wait. 1996. Whatever. Pretend like I said all of that together. Flutie Fest 1996. I got that right the first time. On their bibs that they put on underneath the desk so they could have this Flutie feast at Flutie Fest.
Oh my God. Oh my
Never
God.
Ending Flutie.
Jesus.
I'm sorry, I've taken this joke too far.
Here's the other part of that. So they have no blood, right? And it's established at the end of the episode that they remember everything they've done. What the hell happens to those children? Like, who remember
eating
somebody
the principal?
Alive? Where did they go? What happened? Are they in therapy? Like, who can give therapy for somebody who accidentally cannibalized somebody while possessed by a hyena spirit? Like,
I have to imagine that we just never see them for the rest of the entirety of Buffy the Vampire Slayer because they try to tell somebody about this and get hauled off to, like, the modern equivalent of Bedlam. Like, they're just gone. They've been put into a ward and tied up for delusionalness.
Here's the thing about Buffy, and here's where my context comes in. When Buffy graduates from Sunnydale High, her whole speech revolves around the fact that Sunnydale is not normal, and she actually mentions the hyena children. Like, she mentions that incident in particular. Everybody at Sunnydale knows that this happens. The teachers know. Students know. The whole town knows. Everybody at Sunnydale knows that this happens. So, like, those children...
That these kids were possessed by hyenas?
Yeah, and everything else... All the vampires, all the weird, like, library shit, like, all of it. It's just kind of taken
for granted. Wait. Her own damn mother doesn't even know as of episode 6. Are you telling me that at some point in this godforsaken series, the entire town is just like, yep, vampires. This is fine.
Yep. At some point, her mother beats one with a stick. It becomes pretty normalized. It's very established later on that, like, Sunnydale High, like, nobody talks about it. But, like, Sunnydale knows. Everybody who attends Sunnydale High knows that weird shit goes on. And they just kind of move on with their lives.
I'm so angry about this. Like, there's all this dumb BS about, like, so do people just accept that the librarian is some sort of, and he's a wizard?
I don't think he's a wizard. People know, like, the obvious stuff. Like, okay, there's an episode, I don't know if you watched it, but where their substitute teacher ends up being, like, a giant praying
mantis. A giant praying mantis. Yes, I did.
Right. So, like,
which,
that kind of
WTF.
Thing.
WTF.
Yeah, that kind of thing, like, that gets around. Like, the students kind of know that. But, like, Giles being, like, the master of lore to the Slayer is not, like, common knowledge. Like, it's more, like, outrageous, obvious stuff in the school.
And everybody
know
just
about.
Knows it and is fine with it.
Well, like, they just kind of ignore it. They
I'm,
just,
like, actively angry about this. Like, there was all this, like... Like, because I feel like, okay, so I don't know if this happens exactly in the pack, but I know it happens in the other ones that I watch. There are moments where, like, Buffy, Xander, and Willow will be, like, talking about some sort of, you know, supernatural bullshit, and, like,
right.
Someone will walk up and, like, Willow or Xander will be like, oh, shh, and, like, keep it all
right. Well,
toned
and that's the
down.
Thing. I mean, this is when Buffy graduates. This is, like, a good few seasons in or something. You know, like, it's...
I guess,
there's
but
been
I'm
some
still
time,
angry.
Like, that over time, more and more people have realized that the school's kind of weird and shit goes down and people spontaneously combust and, like, you know,
I'm
like...
I'm mad about it.
They've realized that it's not a normal high school.
I'm mad about it. It's all I've got to say. I know we were saying that we were going to keep it to just the pack, but we did have to take this momentary digression so that I could learn this dumb fact and be filled with a deep and fiery rage for a bit, because seriously? Although, I do have one thing, while we're on, like, long-running established bad ideas, because I genuinely think that that's a bizarre, like, choice to make in this series, although maybe it works and I just haven't seen it yet, but I do
mean,
have another
yeah.
bizarre choice that we need to address that is long-lasting and long-running and involves the branding of the series itself, which is that font choice on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer title card logo thing. Because what on God's green earth is going on there? It's like half chalkboard, half chiller. Like, it, like what? Why did we as a society decide in the 90s and early 2000s that what we really need were shitty, shitty fonts? Like, everything. Like, even on, like, real legitimate things that designers were involved in, where we just, like, computers can let us have any font we want, let's go font wild! Because seriously, people, like, it's a bizarre choice for, like, a TV show. It kind of looks like you slapped some chiller on there, and I'm gonna stand by this comparison to chiller and a chalkboard font. It's like someone took your second grade teacher's newsletter font and turned it into a creepy font, and all you really get out of it is just that I'm mad about it.
Well, I mean, I have no arguments there because I have actually zero opinions about this font. But I think, yeah, I think like many things in the 90s, you can count it as a bad idea.
Yeah, I know font diatribes are more my thing than yours, but I just wanted to really quickly address that because I'm sure it carries on. I've seen it on things before, and I just...
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't
It brings
change.
Me sorrow. It just brings me sorrow in my life. So, sorry that I have out and derailed us onto the topic of font choice.
That's okay. I could go on with the bad idea of some of the fashions in the show.
Oh, Lord.
I think we've already established that we're going to try to look at things in the context of the era in which they were made. In which
yeah.
case, Buffy and company and all the other high schoolers, like, they were costumed, well,
for the 90s.
For their characters, for the 90s. Like,
and
you can look at them still and you can be like, yeah, you can tell Willow's more conservative and a little bit more of a nerd, and Buffy's kind of a hot badass. Like, you know, they really thought about it. It's just that looking back on it from now, you're like, God, 90s. Those
Except
bangs.
I'm not actually gonna lie. I would wear like 98% of the things that Willow rocks up in. If she just would like tone it down with the white tights, I would be about it. I would wear everything. Like most of what she shows up in. I'm like, yeah, I'd wear that. Because I have awful fashion
yeah.
choices. So carrying on. So aside from criticizing the costumers, I'm going to take a moment to criticize the set designers for the thrice accursed hyena symbol that they freaking Dayglow spray painted in the hyena tent thing, because it's the funniest symbol I've ever seen in my whole life. It was orange, and it just was like, it looked like you take a 7 and put some teeth on it. It was amazing.
Yeah, I stuff like that. I wonder how much research they did for like
none
the occult symbols that they use in all of Buffy.
Zero.
Like they're supposed to like they draw on mythology from around the world and like. Sometimes when they're talking about stuff or they're looking at things, I wonder just, like, how legitimate that is. Like, how much actual research did you do? Or did you just, like, open up, like, an alchemy text and just, like, draw something from it and be like, it's a cult, dark magic?
It's that one. It's the second option because I'm pretty sure that they looked at, like, sad cave paintings from the Lascaux Caves or whatever, and they were like, yeah, we can make something that looked kind of like that, and people would totally believe that it was, like, from primitive Africa before the time of now. And it, like, it just amused me so much. Because it was so, like, I feel like it was just super obvious that they, like, made it up. Like, it wasn't, like, one thing that Supernatural was always really good about, not to, like, derail this conversation, but momentarily to derail it, is that, like, their supernatural symbols, like, look like supernatural symbols. It's pretty obvious that they, like, tried, for the most part. I can't think of any
that
are really bad.
They use a lot of Enochian. Like, they use a lot of actual Enochian symbols from John Dee's texts. And they, like, I don't know. Well, they did the whole, like, reading right-to-left thing, which I don't necessarily agree with as a stylistic choice using Enochian. But, like, they have actual legitimate Enochian symbols and, like, symbols that were used by
right.
people who were studying angelic prophecies and, like, around the time that was very foundational for Supernatural style. So, like, there was stuff going on there.
It's very obviously that they, like, they kind of tried. Whereas, like, I feel like with this one, there's less of that. Like, there's less of that sort of sense that they were intentional about it, which I think is weird because I felt like a lot of what I saw leading up to this seemed pretty like intentionally planned and stuff, and so then to like rock up on this Dayglo hyena thing was like, I was shook. I was like, what is that?
My thing is like, okay, so the guy painted it there, like evil sorcerer dude, like painted it there to do this big like ritual thing, whatever. He works for the zoo. How did nobody else be like, hey, what's that weird thing you spray painted on the floor of the hyena exhibit? Like,
is he the only one that goes in the hyena tent? Like,
right.
Is he
like,
the hyena man?
Okay, also, is he the guy, like, what? He works at the zoo. He actually legitimately works at the zoo. Did he work at the zoo with the specific intent of finding some supernatural hyenas from Africa, taking them to this zoo and performing this ritual? Like, he
right.
seems so bent on the sole goal, and it's like, why do you work for a zoo in the U.S. then? Like, just go to Africa,
which
find some
first?
Hyenas.
The magic hyenas, or the...
Zookeeping?
I'm gonna start like, that sentence. Right, like, which came first, the magical hyenas or the zookeeping? Like, did a freaky hyena show up and then you did some research on it and you were like, I want to be a hyena? Or were you like, you know what I want today? To be a hyena. I think I'll go work for a zoo! Like, WTF,
right.
my guy!
I don't know how he passed as so terribly normal to, like, everybody else when he's spray-painting hyena symbols on the ground. Like, how was Giles the first one to look at the ground and be like, this has been spray painted here for a while. You are not normal. Like,
yeah.
Also,
the
okay.
entire town of Sunnydale is stupid. Like, everyone who lives there, stupid.
There is some.
Okay, sorry.
There's a great deal of stupidity going on. Moving on into that kind of a bad idea
stupid?
That I saw. Yeah, into the stupid. A bad idea that I saw during the episode
we're diving
was.
In.
Okay, so Xander turns into, like, a hyena-possessed person, right? Like, that's
right.
his deal for this episode. But, like, he still retained a lot of himself. Like, he still has all the knowledge of Xander. Like, it's like a hyena kind of deal. But, like, he knows people's names, and he knows about them, and he can, like, use that for sinister
right.
hyena purposes. So, like, my thing is that, like, there's that part where, like, while everybody's eating the principal, Xander goes to fight Buffy. And I'm like, if your Forget hyena possession. If you have any of Xander's memories at all, any of his knowledge, why would you go fight Buffy the Vampire Slayer on your own and expect to win? Like, I mean, you know who she is.
Some of that is just like, I think that some of that is kind of teased in the way he keeps like animalistically sniffing her, and like you sort of know that like he has this giant crush on her, and it's kind of weird, and like, so like part of it plays off as like pure animal instinct, I guess, being like mate with this strong female, but like, right, like he knows that she's gonna beat the ever-living shit out of him, like what is the plan, Xander?
I feel like no amount of like hyena instinct being like, go seek her out alone, is going to like override the fact that Xander knows that she's just going to kick his ass, and like
immediately
that will be bad, like immediately, like without hesitation. Like
she's gonna flail on him, like he is gonna get like pounded.
And he did. Guess what?
In the, like, beat-down kind of way. He so did. I think it's weird, too, because, okay, so, there's the dodgeball sequence, which in and of itself is terrible. But there's the part where, it's a bad idea from start to finish, and we will get into some of my favorite things that happen in it. But one thing that, like, I wanted to talk about in that I have, like, written down on my notes that I was taking was, so the pack is on the one team all together, and then, like, Buffy and Willow and nameless other Sunnydale students are on the other team, and the pack like takes down everybody on Buffy's team except for Buffy, and then like the only people who are left are Xander, the four bully kids who may or may not have names. I just realized I could not tell you what they are. And the kid that they were bullying,
one of them is mentioned like once.
Yeah, they're nameless. They're just the pack. That's what they are. Which, come on, give them names. And there's the kid whose name, I want to call him Larry, but I know that that's wrong. But the kid that they were, like, bullying at the beginning of the episode that, like, led to the hyena thing is also on the team with Xander and those four kids. And it gets down to this point where they're all facing Buffy, who is the only person left on the opposing team. And they turn around and, like, beat down on the other kid. And, like, in my mind, that read as, like, all five of them recognizing Buffy as the apex predator, because she is. Like, they know that she could kill them in a heartbeat. So, like, I thought it was really odd then, like, what you were saying about how, like, why did Xander peel off from the pack to go attack her and, like, assault her, like, by himself, when he already, like, he and the pack together had acknowledged that she was the alpha, like, well, like, she's the top dog.
My thing with that is that, like, the hyenas aren't stupid. Like, they've shown themselves to be very clever and to have used the knowledge of their, like, hosts or whatever very cleverly. Like, Xander, like, destroys Willow by, like, claiming that he, like, likes Buffy more. And then he, like, goes and tries to get with Buffy and that doesn't work. And then he's back with Willow and he's, like, you know, like,
it was better when it was just the two of us, and like
he's clever, like he's smart, he's using all this knowledge of his host to like play the people around him, and yet he was not smart enough to not go after Buffy, who he had to have known, but like by alone, no pack, just like he had to have known that it was not going to end well for him. Like, what did he expect out of that?
It was like a weird writing choice. It was a bad idea on behalf of Xander and the hyena spirit. Danged hyena spirits. having brought up the dodgeball sequence, I would like to take this moment to discuss the gym teacher whom is in this sequence. And so he rocks up holding all these dodgeballs and he's like, because it is raining today, our normal gym class is canceled. Which, like, no, it's not. You're still in gym. First thing that I took issue with.
It's not like you took a bunch of classes and put them together because it's raining. This is obviously just your class,
like one,
and they're
gym
inside
class
because it's raining.
Right. This is normal gym class. It's just normal gym class indoors because of rain. So he's like, today we're going to be playing dodgeball. And there's only one rule. Dodge the ball, or whatever. Like, he says something super dramatic, like, if you forgot how to play, and it's like so much, it's so extra. But just getting to my favorite piece of dialogue in the entire scene that literally made me cry laughing when it occurred. So, like we were saying, the pack all turns on Larry Tudgman, which is not his real name, but it's what I'm going to call him. And they beat him down with the rubber doll. You know, all five of them are just, like, pelting this child with dodgeballs mercilessly because they're demon hyena monsters. And it cuts to the gym teacher, who says quietly to himself, "God, this game is brutal. I love it." And I... like, could not contain myself. Like, it was the funniest thing in the entire episode. Like, it was, like, this whole dramatic sequence. Like, Buffy and the pack have this stare down, and then the pack turns on their own teammate, and then the gym teacher is, like, loving every minute of it. And I was like, what is this stereotype of gym teachers that is happening right now in front of my eyes? Like, are all gym teachers sadists? Apparently. According to the television of the late 90s and early 2000s, it was just so, like, it was funny because it was just, one, apropos of nothing. Like, it just, he just slides this comment in there. But two, because it is so indicative of, like, the time during which this show was made. Like, there was this real, like, the gym teacher is always kind of a sadist, and he likes to make people play dodgeball, because it's painful. Well, yeah,
the whole dodgeball thing was just, like, so stereotypically high school, especially for this time. It's like, the media of this time is where you get media stereotypes from. Like, it's literally just, like, here's all the high school kids playing dodgeball. Like, you right. know, like, it, and they're, like, it's so intense, and Buffy's, like, quick dodge and everything, because she's a slayer, and she has awesome reflexes, and, like...
It's also very funny to watch people dodging, because they dodged in the weirdest way. Like, all of them just hip-thrusted out of the way, which was bizarre.
Yes, they all curved their bodies to avoid it, whereas, instead, like, of, like, actually stepping to the side.
The way people really dodge dodgeballs in dodgeball?
Any way possible.
Yeah.
That's how people dodge balls in dodgeball.
Dear sweet lord, don't hit me in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, wow.
This, but
yes.
No, but your thing about media stereotypes is really funny because, like, you know, like, my entire elementary school career, like, I expected when I got into middle school and high school to be, like, forced to play much more dodgeball than I ever played. Like, we played dodgeball occasionally, and it was terrible, and I usually just stood at the front line, like, with my arms out to take up as much space as possible until someone hit me so I could leave the court. But, like, it wasn't, like, every gym class, and our teacher wasn't standing there, like, blowing the whistle every time someone got out or whatever, like, so it's just, like, it's weird, because it's a stereotype that's really easy to sort of spot in, like, my own life, and it made me chuckle.
Yeah.
It amused.
No, and I think that kind of pops up in certain places, and sometimes it, like, I don't know, sometimes it adds to, like, the campy nature of, like, the show, and sometimes it, like, adds a little bit of humor. Like, I guess I'm just thinking of, like, that part where, like, where Buffy catches the pig and the principal is, like, having her carry the pig back because he doesn't like it. And he is talking to her about how, like, how there's too much sex and drugs this, you know, with these students.
Right.
These high schoolers. And he's like, and I guess I had some old guy also telling me when I was a kid how much better his old high school days were. And he just, like, walks into his office. And it's just, like, little things like that where it's like, yeah, you kind of, like, nodded to the stereotype, but you didn't, like, completely defeat it because, like, that was still the stereotype. Like, I feel like all of Buffy's kind of like that, where you, like, catch the edge of some things, but a lot of
right.
things are still severely stereotyped. Or at least, if they weren't then, they are now.
Well, and it's one thing that's really interesting, too, because I think it's sort of a proto-stereotype-busting thing. Like, yeah, like, when the show came out, like, the fact that they were even acknowledging that, like, and that's what some guy said to me when I was in high school was probably kind of, like, it
Ew.
Was, like, funny and, like, yeah. And so, like, I think that, like, there's an element of just watching the show age, because now, like, I mean, we live in the age of TV tropes. Like, we know what's coming. Like, everybody
right.
can name a couple of them off of the top of their head. And, like, that's...
We're very
so, like,
hyper-aware about tropes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so there's more of, like, an effort by lots of media production to sort of not only, like, acknowledge that, like, oh, this is a trope, but to actively sort of avoid them or turn them on their head or, like,
right,
you know. And I think that, like, that's just an element where, like, parts of Buffy maybe didn't age super well. Like, they aged well. Like, I enjoyed watching the pack. Like, it was a fun thing to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But there were also the, like,
no, it's still,
you know,
a good show.
Like, the dodgeball sequence was funny when I feel like it was supposed to be kind of, like, it was supposed to be a little bit dramatic. Like, it was supposed to be very much, like, Buffy the Apex Predator and this pack and turning on the weakest link. And instead, it's sort of, like, yeah, you get that, but you also get, like, you get more of, like, this is hilarious. Why are they, like, taking dodgeball so seriously? Why is the gym teacher so hung up on, like, the violence of high schoolers? It's, like, things that are...
Right.
It's something that became a bad idea. That might not have been a bad idea at the time of writing.
Right. And I feel like there's quite a few of those. And it's kind of funny because, I mean, in looking at this episode, I found that a lot of my bad ideas were, like, the kind of bad ideas where I... from a character's perspective, it was a bad idea. Not necessarily, like, from a writing perspective or a production perspective, it was a bad idea. There were a few
right.
of those, but, like, not that many. And that, I mean, that really does show, and it shows in how many people do still love Buffy as a show and can go back and
right.
watch it, because it is still a very entertaining show. And, I mean, kind of leading into that, like, I do think the dodgeball scene was supposed to be very dramatic and pretty revealing as to, like, there is something seriously wrong with these children. But, like,
right.
I don't know. Buffy always plays the line between drama and humor. Like, it's not a dramatic show. Like, it is kind of at its core, but it has so many humorous moments in it, and not all of those are purely because of the difference in aging of the show. Like, there's so
yeah,
many things
and
so many episodes where you're like, that was supposed to be funny. Like, that weird difference of, like, everything was so serious and then something ridiculous happened. Like, that was supposed to be funny.
I mean, and that actually does make sense. Like, Joss Whedon, make it dark, make it grim, but then for the love of God, make him laugh, is, like, it's, like,
right.
his thing that everybody knows him for. So it makes, it like, what you're saying totally makes sense to me, like, sort of on a further reflection. And he is sort of the master of bathos, just undercutting his own drama for
oh,
a laugh.
No, and, like, and all of Buffy is like that, because, I mean, honestly, there's a reason why if you look at episode descriptions, they sound so ridiculous. Like, they are. The premise of so many of these episodes is absolutely outrageous, ridiculous occurrences, and a lot of times the characters
right.
will kind of allude to that. They're like, are you serious? This is seriously going on right now? Because, like,
right.
so much of this is, like, very dramatic, and a lot of the, like, later, like, a lot of the very dramatic, like, vampire characters, Buffy just, like, cuts into them. Just, like, she, like, stops the mid-monologue, and she's like, you have been going on for way too long. Like, you know, like, there's this kind of sense of, like, there's some, they live in a serious world, but they are regular people, so the humor comes through regardless.
Right. I see that. I can dig that. I think it's very, there's an irreverence there, and I think that that's cool and important, and I don't know. I hadn't thought as hard about that as maybe I should have.
I mean, I don't
I
think
don't
it's
know
as,
where I was going with that sentence.
I don't
I'm
think
not
it's
lie.
As obvious in six episodes, you know, as in six seasons. I think it really is something that you kind of garner over time. It's just like the style of the show kind of grows on you and you kind of realize what the style of the show is. Because, I mean, honestly, in episode six of season one, they're still kind of playing with the style of the show. They're still kind of like, what should this be? How can we let these characters interact in a way that is both serious and kind of funny? Like,
yeah, I feel it.
Like, part of that, I don't know, like, there's this scene with Giles where, like, she's, like, practicing sparring with him, and he's holding
in
all
the
these
damn
things
library!
In the library, yes, which
where
we can
anyone
talk about
could
later.
Walk in! Okay, sorry.
But, like, my point with that was, and we'll quickly get to the bad idea of that scene, but, like, my point with that was, is that, like, he's, like, that's a really serious thing. Like, she's training, she's the vampire slayer, like, that's
right.
who she is, this is very important. And then, like, he's like, yes, this is important, he's very serious, and he drops his arms and he goes, like, he says some comment about how when he feels his arms again, they can continue. Like, you know, it's, like, some kind of
right.
humorous undercut yet again of, like, yeah, this is serious, and they're taking it seriously, but, like, God, he's tired. He's only human, people. Like, you know, and
right.
I think that kind of sets the tone for the series as well. But yeah,
right.
please, do go on with the bad idea of that scene.
No, I think what you're saying is, like, I feel it. Like, I feel what you're saying about, like, Giles and the, like, they're, like, still working on the thing. But I do, that is one thing that, like, they don't really address in this episode is that, like, she is just beating on the librarian in the middle of the library, which any student could at any point come into. Like, there is that part in, it's in an episode right before this one with that guy where Owen or whatever his name is, like, does just walk into the library, thus proving that anyone could walk into the library at any time. And so, like, I would just like to take a moment to discuss a scenario with you. So let us say that I am a student of Sunnydale High School and I am in need of a text, perhaps about, oh, I don't know, geometry. I've no idea what's going on in my geometry class, and so I'm going to go forth into the library and find a book on it because the Google doesn't exist yet. And so I am making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm headed for the library, and I imagine that inside of this library, what I will find is the librarian and some books, and I confidently push open the door to the library, and I find a student beating the crap out of the librarian, who is geared up for battle, as this woman from my third period English literature class just wails on him. Like, what am I supposed to think is happening? Like, it seems like something that, like, should I call the police? Should I call the principal? Should I call Child Protective Services? Like, who should I call?
Call the principal because he's being eaten alive right now. But, you know, you could talk to another teacher about it, probably. But, like, that's my thing, is that, like, it's kind of just one of those suspension of disbelief things where, like, they establish that students can come into the library and be surprised, but, like, it never actually happens, really. Because, like, my thing is, there are so many books about the occult in that library. Half of that library is like a high school library. Half of that library is Giles' personal collection of occult literature. So, like, what if you are going in for a geometry book and you wander into the wrong section upstairs
and you accidentally find a book about
dark magic? Like,
the geomancy books. Like, you don't get quite to geometry and you whip down a geomancy book and you're like, And then you become a dark wizard on accident because you learn how to mance the geos. You're like necromancer.
Now that I think about it, there may actually be an episode where that is the premise, where some student finds the wrong library book and becomes like an evil wizard or something. Do not quote me on that. I haven't watched the series in so long. Do not quote me on that. But I feel like something
but
along
it could
lines
very well
might actually happen.
I would just, in the scenario that I created for you.
And that's just such a bad idea on Giles' part. Like, that's just such a, Giles, you're supposed to be the smart one here. I mean, he just proves that quite a lot. But, like, you have
hypothetically, no common sense.
Like, okay, first of all, you have a cage in your library. So if you want to use that properly, why don't you put all your occult books?
Lock up the occult books! Yes, that's exactly what I was just thinking! Like, why, like, just put them where students can't find them and if anyone asks why you got a bunch of books in this cage, just be like, I'm working on a research project for my doctorate or whatever you want to say here, because now I am Giles. And like, it wouldn't even be hard. Like,
nobody would care. They'd be like, a bunch of old books in the back cage of the library. Who cares? I'm going to continue on with my life. Like, they're a bunch of self-absorbed high schoolers. They don't care, but they do care if they pull a book off the shelf and it turns out to be about sorcery.
Right. Then they'll become ensorcelled, and then you'll have a whole new problem on your hand, which is, namely, ensorcelled high schoolers. And no one wants that in their lives.
Nobody does, least of all Giles, because that's literally what he used to be. He does not want to relive his own high school years.
It's just bad times. King Uther Pendragon does not have time for this!
Okay, can I move on to one of my
favorite
ideas of this
Carry
episode? It has something to do with the library cage, I guess. But, like, okay, something that is definitely a bad idea in this episode is how often they leave Willow alone in, like, mortal danger situations. Like, okay, Hyena Xander's locked up in a cage. They have no idea where the rest of the pack is. None! They're not even going to go find them! They're going to the zoo! So Giles and Buffy are going to the zoo. A wild hyena pack of students is running through the streets, potentially.
Right.
Could come back to school, because that's where they've been all day. And they're just like, hey, Willow, sit here and watch Xander. And granted, she volunteers, but, like, Buffy's concern about Willow staying there is solely about, like, well, you like Xander a lot,
oh, is Xander gonna play you?
Bad.
Like, are you about to get played?
And not at all of, like, Xander's in a cage, but four more hyena students are not. Willow, you could be eaten alive. No sense of that. So they just leave.
Right.
They just leave, and sure enough.
I mean, even if you don't get to the point where you're like, the pack might come back, like, it just seems like an astronomically bad idea to leave, and I'm sorry to say this about Willow, whom I do love, but arguably the weakest character, like, in terms of physical brute strength by herself, with a man who has been shown, like, the hyena magic did make Xander stronger. Like, there is the entire scene where he tries to sexually assault Buffy, which, like, bad idea from a, like, whoa, why are we doing this, and bad idea from a, like, Xander, why are you doing this scenario. But anyway, if it had been, like, a normal day in the life of Xander of no last namington, and he had gone after Buffy to beat down on her, he couldn't have, like, regular
He would not have pinned her. He would have just flown across the room trying to hit her. Like,
we know that Xander has some supernatural strength going on right now. And what we're going to do is leave him in this flimsy library cage with the one person who would have no, like, regardless of if the other four show up, like, Xander probably eventually, had he tried, could have broken out of that cage. And then what would have happened? It's not like Willow could have, like, beat him off for long enough to get away.
Exactly.
He'd have just ate her.
Like, this is episode 6. Willow was very much, like, a very soft child. And we love her. Everybody loves her for it. But, like, she is very soft and very innocent and very much cannot fight you back. Like, so, like, don't leave her alone places. Like, not until you've given her some training of some sort. Like, later on in the seasons, yes, she gets a whole lot more badass. Right now, she's a very small, soft child. Do not leave her with a possessed, crazy hyena person who used to be her best friend. Like, what are you doing? And the other time.
What is your plan?
This was not the only time. So, Willow's left alone in mortal danger. Sure enough, a bunch of hyenas that have been running wild come. They free Xander. They try to eat her. She hides, Xander finds her, she gets saved at the last moment by Buffy, and so, like, and then the
lesson,
like,
learned!
Like,
but
so,
no.
you would think that now that Buffy has had to come in and be like, oh my god, Willow almost died, that she will realize that you cannot leave Willow alone. And Buffy doesn't, in her defense. Buffy does not. Buffy sends Willow with Giles, who is, you know, the only adult here. The trusted adult, who's not that great at adulting. But he pretends he is, and everybody just kind of buys into it somehow. But so she sends Willow with Giles, and, like, fair, on Buffy's point, she's going to go hunt down a ravenous hyena pack. So, of course, she doesn't want Willow with her. Willow's safe with Giles. This makes sense. And then Giles is like, okay, we're going to get some weird magic transversal thing going on here. Willow, stand outside and watch for the ravenous hyena pack by yourself. The hyena pack that tried to kill you a few moments ago.
He just can't.
Yes. Watch out for that by yourself. If they start sprinting at you, run inside. Like, that's such a bad plan. That is such a bad idea. Why are you going to leave Willow outside to watch out for a hyena pack that Buffy's gonna lead into the enclosure anyways? Like, it's not like you need, like, a whole lot of warning. You can probably hear them. They're going to be a bunch of teenagers stomping into a hyena exhibit. Like, and then, of course, Giles assumes that he can just, like, look after Willow while also dealing with this, but then there's some dark sorcerer, and he gets... I don't even know what happens to Giles. You assume he gets, like, knocked out, and then he just appears from a panel in the wall later? So, like, where did he go? Nobody knows.
I just have to assume that the guy conked him on the head and then, like, stuffed him in a wizard closet because he's a wizard. He just, like, was like, yeah, I'm gonna put you in here with the magic brooms and the cauldrons. And then, you know... That's where he comes out of. I don't know why the wizard didn't magic him. He just conked him on the head, but don't question this scenario too much or it completely falls apart.
The thing about the wizard is that, like, he doesn't have any magic yet. Like, that's his whole point, is that he has to, like, do the shaman thing, become the hyena, then he will have supernatural powers. So, like, he literally just has his bare hands and probably a stick. But, like, that's again, Giles... It was a bad idea to leave her alone anyways. And then you got knocked out, and she got, like, taken as sacrifice because, you didn't, like, raise enough of an alarm for her to realize that the bad guy was bad.
But like, things were going bad.
He's just like, oh, you, and then they have a conversation, and then he gets knocked out. Like, he never once shouts, like, Willow, run away! The bad guy is super bad. Like, never once. And then Willow
this
just, like, strolls on in, like, hey, help, the hyenas are coming! And then he's like, yes, they are. Like, you know, like, it's just... right. It's just like, poor Willow got so screwed because nobody could communicate and everybody just left her alone places.
Yeah.
It was such a bad idea.
I feel like the team vampire hunter really needed, like, a team building exercise. Like, I have to imagine that they went to some sort of retreat after the four of them and did trust falls and, like, learned how to be like, this is how we make plans so that they could function.
I can assure you they don't. Most of the plot revolves around the fact that they literally cannot function as as a team, as any kind of sort of entity that functions normally. In that fact, there's a point where, like, another Slayer shows up and she functions so much better.
Wait.
So much better.
Wait. Wait. Wait.
That was hella spoilers for Buffy. If you haven't seen past episode 6.
I'm not really mad about the spoiler because, like, it's 20 years old. Like, it's spoilers happen. What I am mad about is the hyper-dramatic intro that's like, into every generation, one is born. She is Slayer.
That's the thing, is that Buffy dies. So this other Slayer pops up who's been training her whole life for it, knowing that she's the next vessel. So
First of all, it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so... die and then it's not about Buffy anymore?
Buffy doesn't die forever. It's a supernatural kind of thing where Buffy dies for a little
while.
And then Buffy undies. But she died enough for the next Slayer to, like have Slayer powers.
When she comes back, does Slayer 2 just become...
Slayer 2's kind of pissed to find out that Slayer 1 is still alive. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a bunch of drama there.
This is really not important to what we're talking about, but I just had to, because I hate that voiceover. I think it's stupid. Like, it is, like, into every generation, one is born. She is the Slayer, and she will protect the world from the darkness. Vampires are bad, and they are here. Without her, we will die. There is only one. And, like, how can you just be like, and then there's another Slayer? Like, I'm offended. That voiceover is so annoying. And they just disregard it?
It's a big plot thing. I should have mentioned it offhand, because it's like a big plot thing.
If only one is born into every generation... then, like, there shouldn't be another one born after Buffy for a bit. Like, the next Slayer should be, like, 6.
Right.
When Buffy is 16.
It's not, like, an Avatar thing. Like, they're literally the same age, but this girl has always known that she will be the Slayer, so she's been training for the time in her life when the other Slayer dies. I think it's because they have a very high Slayer turnover rate. Like, Slayers die a lot.
It's like a Kroger, basically. They, right. Like, you know, like, the cashiers, they leave a lot, so they hire lots of them.
They fight uber-powerful vampires and all sorts of other shit, so, like, the likelihood of them dying is so high that they just, like, immediately have, like, a bunch of other Slayers lined up and are like, just start
training.
It's like
the Slayer B team.
You'll get there eventually. Somebody will die and you'll become the Slayer, and your training will be great.
So they're the backup. They're the understudies, basically. They all want to be Ophelia, but...
at some point. They will be the Slayer.
Well, I mean, the understudy has a guarantee if they're willing to poison.
Murder the actor?
Yeah. Basically. Right? I mean, no, this is terrible, and I shouldn't have said that. It was, like, not well thought out. I thought it was going to be funny, and it just wasn't. So
I laughed. Okay.
I'm glad.
It's about that time.
We should probably move on to the ultimate bad idea.
We're
going
to get back to topic. We are going to talk about the ultimate bad idea.
The ultimate bad idea.
We're
not. That's never.
For that.
We should, but it will never be that again, ever. We're gonna come up with a real ultimate bad idea. I want it to be much better, and I want it to get stuck in people's heads.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about jingles now. Carrying on into the ultimate bad idea, which might be, for us in this podcast, having a jingle for it, currently. Sure. We have one that's about Buffy the Vampire Slayer and isn't just us making terrible jokes. So, Jesse.
So, Ellie.
Hit it. Do All you right. want to tell us?
I can tell you.
Me what the ultimate bad idea is.
So, it took us a little while to get to the ultimate bad idea because, I don't know, we both had kind of separate ideas, but we kind of figured out that the ultimate bad idea is something that's kind of in the middle of them, is something that kind of encompasses...
It came together.
Right, encompasses the bad ideas that were really kind of nagging at us for this episode in particular, and for kind of the series as we've seen it, as Ellie's seen it in the last six episodes, and as I've seen it in further seasons. So, our ultimate bad idea for this one is the divide, how big the divide is between main characters and side characters. For example, in this episode, there are main characters. There are, of course, the standard main characters. You have the three high schoolers, you have Giles. And then, for this episode, you have the four hyena students, the shaman guy, and the principal. And those are, like, the only people that matter in this episode, so they're the only people you ever, like, kinda know the names of or see a lot in this episode. Like, and we were pointing out, like, Ellie was pointing out that, like, Cordelia, who is an antagonist throughout, like, lots of stuff, and then a protagonist later, and, like, a very important character, super main character, is just completely absent from this episode because she doesn't matter to this episode at all. Like, you don't even see her. Nobody in the hallway, you don't see her at all.
Right. Well, and it's an extended problem even beyond characters who are sort of main not showing up. Like Jesse was pointing out the first time we sort of began planning and talking about what we wanted to talk about in this episode, how, like, there aren't any chaperones on the field trip, which I thought was really interesting because I hadn't really thought about that.
It was such a bad idea. Why would you have so many high schoolers and only the principal watching them? The principal.
Yeah, right. Well, and, like, that's just another thing. And, like, that made me think about how, like, we see Buffy's mom occasionally, like, not in this episode because she's not central to the plot, but, like, do Willow and Xander have parents? Because they don't even talk about their parents. And, like, there's that club and they all just go and, like, no one really talks about, like, oh, I have to be home at a certain time. Like, the peripheral concerns of high school students are not really addressed in this, which would be, like, parent figures or, like, other teachers. Like, there's only teachers in the plot when they're relevant to the episode, like the praying mantis lady.
Right.
And the guy who's like, Buffy, I see a lot in you, and then gets eaten by the praying mantis lady. Like, that's the only time there are teachers, which is odd.
Well, like, I feel like they, in this series as a whole, too, they can't have side characters that are just kind of half there. Like, they're either, like, a main character, or they don't exist at all this episode.
Or they're a background
character. There's no in-between. Like, the four students that are so crucial to this episode, I'm pretty sure they never show up again. Not as bullies, not as kids at the sideline, not as people in the school counselor's office. Like,
they're just gone.
They're not addressed, they're not you don't even, like, see them in background stuff. And, like, other side characters who, like, kind of pop up as students that you, like, learn the name of, they then become main characters. Like, there's very little time where they're, like, just a side character. Like, they almost always die, or they become a main character. Like, there's no other path.
Right, there's this really interesting dichotomy where Buffy the Vampire Slayer doesn't have secondary characters. It has main characters, and it has extras. Like, you know, like, something that is, like, a quintessential school thing, in my opinion, is Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide, which has nothing to do with, like, the supernatural, but does school well. So, like, you get, you know, Ned, Mose, and Cookie, who are the main characters there in every episode. All the episodes are about them. But then you get recurring secondary characters like Coconut Head and Susie Crabgrass and the bully guy whose name escapes me who dates Susie Crabgrass for a while. Like, there are these secondary characters who, they come up, but they're not the main characters. Whereas, like, in Buffy, we've got Buffy, Willow, Xander, and Giles, and they are, like, there, and they talk a lot. And then, like, even in the hallways, like, Buffy doesn't, like, stop and talk to anybody else after the first, like, day of school, and, like, other characters, like, don't answer questions in class, like, in the one episode where we even see the characters in class. Like, it's very much, like, they're just, if Buffy the Vampire Slayer were a box, like a shipping box, Sunnydale would be the box, Buffy and Co. would be the contents, and everyone else is just packing peanuts. Like, they don't even matter. Like, you're gonna throw them out when they get there. Right, they're just in the way.
Well,
like,
let's think about even, like, it seems like it keys into specific characters for an episode, and then disregards them completely for the rest of time. Like, they're either a main character for that episode, or they don't exist for the rest of time. For example, the cheerleaders. Like, the only cheerleaders you can actually name are Buffy, Cordelia, and that's it. Because, like, the other cheerleaders, like, they have an episode here or there where they, like, launch into main character territory, like, the episode where some of them spontaneously combust, and then, like, the and one of them's a witch, and, like, that's the plot of the whole episode, so you talk about the cheerleaders a whole lot, and then the cheerleaders are, like, gone. Buffy never says, like, hey, to a fellow cheerleader in the hall. There's never, like, a football game, and you see some of the same cheerleaders. Like, they're just, they don't exist as characters anymore. They're just extras now. Like, you might see a cheerleader, but, like, they're just an extra in the background. They're never referenced. Right. They're never, like, talked about. Like, nothing.
They don't have a name. They're not, like, a real, like, a...
They're there it as part of the background and not anything else.
Right. They're props. They're not characters. They're props. Like, the other students at Sunnydale High School are not... They're set dressing. Like, they're not really there to give it... This is gonna sound weird, but they don't give it the feeling of a high school, even though they're supposed to. Because, like, thinking back on the days of high school, which were a while ago, like, you know, it was pretty normal to stop and talk to someone in the hallway, or to, like, even just acknowledge, like, other people in the school. Like, even if you, like, have your two main friends, like, most people have more than two friends, and, like... This is, it's not something that super comes up in Buffy. Like, they're very much about, like, the characters who are the main characters are the main characters, and, like, there's very limited interaction with anybody else.
Well, they don't have any trim, is the thing. Like, they don't have any wasted, quote-unquote wasted, time where there's a side character being like, hey, Buffy, how was your weekend? Oh, hey, Carl, good, how was yours? And then, like, they move on. Or, like, a scene of a class... where, like, somebody else answers a question and it doesn't have to do with the plot. Or, like, I don't know, like, even when, like, Buffy catches the pig, there are so many other students around, and there's all those football guys that were trying to catch it, but you never get, like, a, oh my god, a chick caught the football, like, or a chick caught the pig, like, not lying,
the pig skin.
The pig skin.
It's funny, because
it's a football. But, like,
anyway,
they don't get, like, these throwaway lines that establish that they're human.
Nothing...
They're always just kind of there. And then it's always literally just, like, whoever is an important character talking to each other. Like, there's no, like, conversation around any other characters.
It's like everybody else's cardboard cutouts. Or they don't even exist. Like,
it's like
if it's
NPCs
not...
in a video game. Like, in...
But worse!
You don't talk to them. They don't talk to you. They walk, like, through you, kind of. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Which is not natural. It doesn't give the depth that they really wanted it to give to the high school. Like, it doesn't give you the feeling of kind of, like, a big high school. It just kind of gives you the feeling of, like, this is a TV show. Here are the important characters.
Right. This is a TV show set in a high school. Can't you see that it's set in a high school? There are students. And this building is a high school. Like, high school. Although I will say, that was one thing that, like, this is just a minor, like, side complaint about, like, not getting the feeling of it being in a high school. But it is, like, the characters make choices that aren't consistent with, like, high schoolers. Like, the fact that they go clubbing all the time is, like, not a high schooler thing. And, like, Buffy makes a joke about Chianti in this episode. And, like, 16-year-olds can't drink wine. Like, they might on the weekends, but they're not gonna know what Chianti is and, like, talk about, like...
I don't know. I feel like part of that might be an era thing. Because just, I don't know, having listened to a lot of my mom's stories about high school and stuff when she was in high school, like, partying was what you did. And, like, even my dad, who's not the most, like, outgoing kind of person, I would not kind of always picture him going out partying. But that's, like, that's what you did in high school. Like, that's just what you did.
Yeah, and, like,
so
I'm not saying it's not about partying. It's the clubbing. Like, they are not going... to a house party. They're going to a club, which is what is where the dissonance strikes me. Like, college students go to bars and clubs. High schoolers go to house parties. And I think that there's, like, and, like, this is, like, getting away from the main point. And I just wanted to mention it because I thought that it fit kind of well with this, like, the element of, like, it doesn't feel real because the characters are sort of, like, packing peanuts. They're a little bit foamy and they're just sort of there to take up space. And, like, I think that, like... It's an element of a couple of elements that I feel like occasionally make the show ring kind of false. Like, there are some writing choices that I think make elements of the show ring false. Like, when Buffy makes jokes that are a little bit too adult for her. Like, the problem isn't that she's making jokes about drinking, it's that she's talking about Xander's, maybe Xander, someone's, like, style of wooing women isn't Chianti in a movie or something, and like that does not sound like something a high schooler would say. It sounds like something in a like a joke an adult would make, and I think that like it sort of rolls into what you were saying about like there aren't any side characters. Like there aren't any side characters. Sometimes the writing gets a little funky, and like the fact that the side characters don't talk is a writing thing. Like they could have written in parts for these side characters, yes, and they didn't. I guess is where I'm trying to roll this. To keep it on our ultimate bad idea track.
I got you, yeah. And, like, we could talk about the other thing, but again, like, talking about the other thing is kind of, like, a big, big series thing.
And we're really not gonna do that.
This ultimate bad idea is definitely so painfully apparent in this episode. Like,
right!
There's nothing
the
else.
The pack?
Right. And the pack exists such in isolation. Like, the only other character you see is, like, you see them bully one person, and he's the person that they bully for the rest of the episode. They're never seen picking on anybody else.
Right! Like, they've never been seen picking on anyone else in another episode. Like, they rock up, and Buffy, like, recognizes them and is just like, oh, the school bullies, or whatever. But, like, we don't know that they're the school bullies, because it never mattered to, like, build that in before, which
it was established once in a very, again, pretty stereotypical kind of episode of they're picking on this guy, and they take his sketchbook, and then the teacher comes by, and the guy's, like, too scared to admit that he was being bullied, so he, like, says no, and they, like, fake become friends with him. Like, that was such a stereotypical bullying scene.
Right.
Like, all it was supposed to do was to show you, hey, these are bullies.
These are the
and
bullies.
It did that.
Right.
But, like, it did that in a very stereotypical manner, so that kind of falls into some of our other bad ideas categories, but,
right.
But, like, that's it. Again, that whole scene has characters that are so crucial to this episode,
and then never
not. Because the principal dies, the bullied kid, I don't think we ever even talk to again. Like, and the bullies are just gone. They're, like, traumatized, and then they're gone. Like, that's
right.
They're not even shown as being traumatized.
I was gonna say, we don't even get that. We, like, they're just gone.
They're just gone.
Like, they get turned back into normal people, and then they vanish, because they don't matter anymore. The only person we have to know how it affects them after is Xander, because he's a main character. Like, we have to know how his, like, experiences as a hyena are gonna affect him later. And that's super weird. There's, like, very little closure there, because, like, you're not treating other characters as characters, sort of.
And there's not even, like, an allusion to what happens to them. Like, Buffy never once says, like, a single line of, like, yeah, those four are gonna be in the school counselor for months after this, or, like, anything like that. Anything at all to say, like, other characters do still exist, and they had stuff happen, and they're part of what happened, so now they are part of what happened after. No, it was completely just, like, yeah, we're gonna buy that Xander doesn't remember anything, and then move on with their lives, and that was it. No mention of other characters, no mention of the principal, no mention of the fact that they're gonna have to hire a new principal now.
Like, there was just, it was very much just, like, and I think that it's just a thing. Like, there are only, currently, as of episode 6, there are only 4 characters that, like, matter. And Angel, I guess, because he has a name and has shown up a couple times. But he doesn't show up in the pack, so, like,
again, like, Angel and Cordelia are pretty absent. They talk about Angel, but...
Xander is, like, making fun of him or something stupid. Like, it's not, like, a important thing.
No, they're, like,
they're
swapping crush things. It's, like, Willow's like, I kind of like Xander. And she's like, well, you kind of like Angel. And Buffy's like, well, I don't kind of like Angel. And she's like, you're wearing his jacket. So, like, that's it. That's all. That's how Angel was talked about in that episode.
Which
again,
is more
like,
than
is
most of the
character.
Other characters get.
And he remains a main character for the rest of time. Like, that's my thing, is that, like, once they become main characters, they are main characters
until they
die. They
just are main characters.
Like, that's it.
It's so odd. It's an odd... It gives the show a weird dynamic a little bit. Because, like, yeah. I don't know. It just gives the show a weird dynamic, I think. And everyone is cardboard.
It makes it seem more like a TV show than kind of a realistic storytelling.
Yeah, I totally agree with that assessment. And I think that is ultimately why it is our ultimate bad idea. Like, that is why we decided to claim this particular segment of this show our ultimate bad idea for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 1, Episode 6, The Pack.
Quality episode.
A quality episode. So I think that we are gonna wrap this bad boy up on that note. If you listen to this and you like this new idea that we approached here, where we sort of took a new idea and, like, said, one of us kind of has context for it, the other one is watching it with significantly less context, and going in, and we're, the real reason that we're talking about it is because it is sort of a huge thing in pop culture. Like, we want to address it from our standpoint as we can now. Let us know if you have recommendations for stuff that you think that one of us might like need to see if we haven't already. That's something we'd really like to get into, is like people who are listening to this telling us, hey, like, have you thought about doing an episode about this? And then this is this kind of thing where what maybe one of us hasn't seen it could come into play there, which is why I bring it up here.
And if you want to do that, there's a couple ways that you can do that. First of all, you can tweet at us. We have a Twitter that's at Bad Ideas Cast. Also, we have an email, if email is more your style. I know I don't have a Twitter, so email's more my style. We have an email, that's allideasarebadideaspodcast@gmail.com. And both of those can be found on our website if you don't want to remember all these different links. Our website is our one-stop shop. You can find all our links to everything, the podcast, the Twitter, Redbubble, email, all those great ways to get in touch with us. And that is allideasarebadideas.wordpress.com.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'd really appreciate it if you would take a minute to subscribe on iTunes, or like us, or leave us a review, or if you really, really like it, tell your friends to listen. We're still a small podcast, but we'd really like to grow, and we really appreciate anyone that takes the time to listen and share. So thanks for tuning in this week, and we will see you on another time.
See you in 2 weeks.